Welcome to Boston's Best, a podcast where you go behind the scenes with financial planner Mark Condon as he asks industry-leading experts in and around Boston to talk about their businesses. Mark will find out what sets these companies apart from their competition and how they have risen above the inevitable challenges they have faced along the way to their ultimate success. And now, here's your host, Mark Condon.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode 72 of Boston's Best, brought to you by Condon Productions. The goal of this podcast is to highlight businesses in and around Boston. My guest on today's podcast is Corey Medeiros. Corey is the owner of Miss Marble. Miss Marble is a luxury brand of chocolate bark. I personally think bark is a very underrated holiday dessert idea that everyone loves, but almost no one brings to the parties. But now you can through Corey and her company, Miss Marble. Corey tells us that Miss Marble was a business born out of COVID, which I just love hearing. She would always bring bark to events and finally decided to start her own company. She has new flavors every single month for you to try. If there's a certain one you love, just order it in bulk and keep it in your freezer for that late night snack. From a milk, dark, and white chocolate base to toppings like pretzels, Oreos, almonds, and caramel, the options are legit endless. On top of running a business, Corey also started the Helping Heart Foundation, which is a charity that donates money to Boston's Children's Extraordinary Needs Program. They have an annual golf tournament and have raised over $100,000 to support this program. Corey is nothing short of a Wonder Woman and is an amazing person to support in multiple ways. And be sure to listen to the end as Corey shares the advice she'd give to someone looking to start their own business, what she would tell her 18-year-old self, and how she defines success in any given year. And so with that introduction, I hope you enjoy this episode of Boston's Best. Good morning. This week we have Corey Medeiros. Corey is the founder of Miss Marble. How you doing?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you on Boston's Best. How's the fall? How's the winter going so far?
Fall is coming. I feel like we really didn't get that nice fall, that weather that we all want. We went straight to winter and some rain, but can't complain. I can't complain. Excited for the holidays.
Yeah. This must be a busy time for you, I imagine, with the holidays.
Yes. This is actually my first holiday season. Okay. Thanksgiving is pretty much already sold out for Miss Marble and the chocolates that we make, but looking forward to Christmas. And yeah, I'm really, really have a lot of exciting products for our clients this holiday season. Yes.
Awesome. So, okay. So let's before we segue into Miss Marble itself, give us a little background on you. Are you from Massachusetts? Are you from the area?
Yep. So I'm born and raised in Massachusetts, down in the South Coast area. Grew up in Freetown, Mass. Went to Framingham State College, lived in Boston all through my 20s. Worked for a restoration company. I actually still do some restoration now. And have a three-year-old, a husband, and a dog. Over COVID, really decided to put together a passion product like I think so many people probably did during that time. It really... I feel like it was such a strange time for people to go, you know, come out of their norm and gravitate to something that they had a love and passion for.
Yeah, I've noticed that. And I kind of love that. Like, as crazy and as all the negatives that have come with COVID, the laundry list can be long, but there's been a lot of positives that have come out of it in that regard too. People starting their own companies, which I love seeing. I love entrepreneurs and seeing people start their own companies. I remember earlier this year, I saw a list. I can't remember all the companies, but there were some major companies that were born out of the 08 crash. So like 08, 09, there were so many big companies that were born where people realized, you know, job security might not always be there. So, you know, if you're going to be your own boss, you have your own job security, right? So it's kind of up to you. So I love entrepreneurs that were bred out of, you know, this pandemic that we had.
Because it makes people take a risk, right? Like, yeah. It's hard to, when you're in a routine, when you're doing something you're used to doing, it's hard to step out of that or even find the time to put all that, because it's a lot of work to put all that thought and effort into something when you're full-time committed to something else. So it pushes people out of their comfort zone for sure.
Yeah, agreed. Like my wife got furloughed when COVID first happened. And at first she was upset. And I was like, you really didn't like your job. She's like, no. I'm like, okay, so this is the best thing that's going to happen to you. Like, you know, she got a new job with it, like in the next couple months, and now she's at a place which she absolutely loves. But like finding the time when you're working 70 hours a week at a job you don't like, finding the time to apply elsewhere and, you know, do what anything else you want to do, whether it's start your own business or move, it's hard to do. And now when you don't have that job, like it kind of forces you to take those risks and do something that you've never done before. So
yeah,
that's awesome. So this was born last year, so that you've had like a little over a year in the business, basically?
We're coming up just on a year. So January 22nd will be an official year of Miss Marvel. And so we make luxury chocolate bark is what the business is. I worked in restoration my whole professional career. I still do. But I really wanted something to become something to make my own and something to grow and you know, put my creativity into. So I really was inspired by the donut world. Have you seen the donut world?
Oh, because it's gotten huge. I've had three gourmet donut companies on my podcast.
Yes, it's huge. And it's something so simple, something that everyone, you know, you don't think twice about it going through Dunkin' Donuts. It's like, oh, I'll have a glaze or a corn muffin. But these donut companies have taken just a basic donut and they've blown them into not only a social media frenzy, but a delicious frenzy as well. And I, following one of my favorite donut shops, Basic Batch, in they're out of Milford.
Milford. I just had them on this podcast.
Milford. Yes. And I was following her and I was like, this is just genius. And around the holidays, I always used to make bark, you know, the peppermint bark or the one with the saltine crackers. And I would just make those just to bring to the holidays. And I'm like, let's do what the donut world is doing, but with chocolate. And I basically just take all in crazy kinds of flavors and toppings and add them to chocolate. And it just, it's really taken off.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear. So I have a huge sweet tooth. So I was pumped when you and I got connected because I love, like I had Basic Batch on, I want to say like probably 6 weeks ago, maybe something like that. So they were just on the podcast. It was great to have them on here.
Christina.
Christina and Rob, like two like great people. They literally work like, I think 22 hours a day. It's crazy.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
I reached out to her. Christina is so sweet. And she's given me a lot of great ideas. She's wonderful. And she was telling me how much she worked and she's superwoman.
yeah. It's crazy. They're doing good stuff over there. I love it. So in regard to the bark, like how many, is there an endless amount of flavors and toppings that you can put on bark? Like, is it just like white chocolate, dark chocolate, milk chocolate, and then all the toppings like peppermint and you mix that stuff in? Like how many, is it just endless, all the possibilities you can do?
Endless. So obviously I try to stick to a menu of, I change the menu every month. So we do about five or six flavors a month and I switch them up every month because, you know, to do endless amounts, to be efficient, you can't have everything available at every time. Right. So I change the menu every month, five or six flavors a month. I do throw in some specials or some pop-up sales here and there just to kind of test out new product. But I've done everything from the basic peppermint around the holidays, which I'm, you know, going to be offering for December, all the way to the nostalgics of our childhood, right? So the Dunkaroos and the Fruity Pebbles and the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, there are no limits.
Oh, that's awesome. Dunkaroos. I haven't heard those.
Dunkaroos, right?
Yeah, yes. That's nostalgia right there.
Yes.
That's awesome. So is this, you're still in restoration. Are you working full time as well? Or is that, is it both like part time that you're doing the restoration business? And
I still do restoration full time. The beauty of Miss Marble and what we've created is, you know, I've created this group of people that are just Miss Marble fans, if you will. And, you know, the word of mouth has just spread and the chocolate is not perishable. Chocolate doesn't go bad. So I make those five flavors in bulk and I have clients that are constantly reaching out for orders and the people that constantly order from me are selling and promoting the new monthly flavors and it just continues to steamroll.
That's awesome. That's a huge component to having something that's just not perishable.
It's huge, huge, huge. Not perishable. I mean, you put it in the freezer. I mean, it's chocolate. It's going to last for months.
Oh, always. Anytime I have chocolate, you can go through my fridge right now and I have something either in the freezer or in the fridge just to keep cold. I love like the cold chocolate. Like we have a whole bag of Hershey Kisses in the fridge and I'll just go by and just grab one because I just like the cold chocolate.
That crunch. It's better in the freezer fridge for sure.
100%. 100%.
And actually, aside from the restoration, world, it's funny because a lot of my vendors, and this is actually what also was a huge component in creating Miss Marble, because a lot of my vendors, you know, come holidays, come thank you for the referrals that I've given them. You know, my vendors will come in and as a thank you, bring, you know, an edible arrangement or something to show their appreciation, like the sales world does.
Of course.
And a lot of my vendors used to come in to say hello and they'd bring me like a pack of cupcakes from Shaw's. And I would be like, what is this? And it's almost like, don't bring me anything. Like, just come in and talk, like, come say hi, like, let's go grab lunch. And I was just, and I wanted, you know, not only do we make this delicious chocolate, but we package it perfectly. And part of the reason for being inspired to do that was because I don't want another salesperson to bring their client cupcakes from Shaw's. So I really focus the packaging and the product on a lot of my vendors. And to this day, I have vendors that I still give business to that are also ordering from me to give to their clients because it's personalized. It's very couture, if you will. It's not, you know, something that was clearly grabbed at the supermarket.
Right. Yeah, I know. You can tell the difference. You can tell the difference between a premium brand and something from the supermarket.
Yes.
So how'd you come up with the company name? Is there a meaning behind Miss Marble?
So my very first flavor that I made was a semi-sweet chocolate with a white chocolate drizzle with freeze-dried raspberries. And the way it swirls in looked marbled.
Okay.
I just came up with Miss Marble.
Fair enough. What are some of the, what's like an early success that you celebrated where you knew like, okay, this is actually a pretty viable business that I can have going forward for myself? And what are some of the early challenges that you experienced starting your company? Is this the first company you started?
Yes.
Right. Yep. So what are some of the early challenges and successes that you had going into it?
So the early successes was my first month was really right before Valentine's Day. So it was like the perfect time to really launch this. And when I started it, and I was consulting with some friends of mine who are attorneys, just asking for, you know, what must I do? You know, what should I do? I really didn't expect it to explode. And explode is relative, but we're not in every state, but bigger than I thought it would be. You know, the kind of advice was, you know, just wait and, you know, wait and see what happens. Do this and do this to protect yourself, but, you know, don't go all in on this yet because you don't know what's going to happen. And then just so quickly, sales just drove up and within a month just had already a new relationship of people who had heard of me through this person. So the chain of people who knew me ordering versus third and second hand came very quickly, which was for me, you know, all your friends and family want to support you, right? But seeing people who had no ties to me was my early success for sure. First few challenges, I'm in the millennial category. But my social media knowledge, though I consider good, is not nearly as good as a lot of people out there. The reels and the TikTok and all these videos that people are making to promote their products is something that I had to really learn and watch YouTube videos on how to do. Posting menus and posting photos and posting stories, that seemed to be the basics and common sense stuff, but it's just so much more than that. And that was a learning curve.
Yeah. There's so many different ways to go about social media and hitting the right algorithms and the right, you know, it's this whole world that I don't understand. I know somebody like in that space and she's done a really good job. She's helped me post and promote the podcast. And she's like, oh, you should do this. I'm like, what is that? I'm 37. So I think technically I'm in that millennial thing too, but I'm definitely on the higher end of it. I know enough of the basics, right? Like you said, story, menus, photos, but you know, I don't have TikTok, which makes me feel like, you know, just old, like, oh, TikTok's the new thing. And I refuse to get TikTok just because I don't know too much about it. And I think it's just,
another early success too, that I think is worth mentioning is that the space, there's none of this. I've yet to meet someone who focuses in luxury chocolate bark. It is definitely a very specific niche. There's so many cupcakes and cookies and baking and cake like that. The bakery end is huge. Yeah. But I've met a couple other great women-owned companies, you know, that have been a little more focused on chocolate, but also not bark. A couple that do truffles, a couple that do chocolate dipped strawberries, but I'm lucky enough to have a niche that there's really not a lot of competition in right now.
Yeah. And bark, for whatever reason, isn't this super common thing. Like you only see it at the holidays, and I love bark. It's awesome, but I never think to buy it. I never think to try to make it. If for whatever reason, it's not top of mind. Like, it's chocolate chip cookies or, you know, gingerbread cookies or something like that. But bark is, I don't know if underrated is the right word, because I think it's, it's not, you don't see it as often as you probably should. I think bark is just delicious. So you went with that because that's just what you always made on your own. You just made bark on your own. That was your
thing. And nothing super creative about it. It was the basics that I would do on the holidays. It was something me and my mom would do. Just, you know, oh, it's Christmas. We got to make a couple, you know, boxes of bark to bring here, to bring there. And again, just seeing, you know, it's like, who doesn't love chocolate? Who doesn't love Dunkaroos? Who doesn't love Oreos? Who doesn't love pretzels? Like, let's throw all this on chocolate and let's see what happens.
That's awesome.
And it works.
Yeah. So how have you gone about, is social media the main form of how you've gone about marketing yourself and promoting yourself? Like, have you teamed up with like Christina from Basic Batch as like a promo with each other or anything like that? Or is it mainly?
I have. Christina was one of my first really collaborations, if you will. I've used social media for pretty much all my marketing. And then it's also word of mouth, primarily Instagram. But I actually, I want to say back around end of February, early March, two of my bark was actually featured on Christina's Donuts. That was like such an honor. We did a St. Patrick's Day donut and a peanut butter pretzel donut that she put pieces of bark on each. And that was like, I was like fangirl. Like I was so excited. Like that was awesome. Another success for my first 2 months, but it was great.
Yeah, seriously. So and you're coming right up on a year. January 1st, like January?
January 22nd.
January 22nd, coming right up on a year. That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. Any like major promotions or anything like that for the holidays? Or are you just trying to keep up with the demand, I imagine?
For the holidays, we're really focusing on bulk boxes. Through the summer and through the spring, our biggest focus was wedding favors. We had a big group of clientele who were doing boxes, little mini boxes and little baggies for wedding favors welcome bags to put inside the welcome bags for their guests. So that was the big focus over the summer. But now that we're getting into the holidays, there's a lot of Christmas parties, a lot of gatherings and, you know, groups. So our big focus over the holidays is basically Choco cootery boxes, I'll call them, instead of charcuterie boxes. Yeah. And it's all chocolates, cookies, just any amazing sweet finds that I can that I not only make, but, you know, from other local women owned businesses that I've met as well, just a sweet box to bring and share at the, you know, holiday gatherings and family events.
That's a really good idea, especially like you and I were chatting before we started recording. I have, as of the recording of this, I have a 2 week old daughter. So with the holidays coming up, the last thing I want to do is cook, to be honest.
Yes.
Like the last thing I want to do is try to figure out the cooking when I have like a diaper to change or get her dressed. And so that's a really, I'm definitely gonna be purchasing something from you for the holidays. I can tell you that right now. This is good timing because my wife and I were just chatting about it. Like we have zero desire to do any of that stuff. Our main goal is just to make sure we get out the door with her like
in under an hour.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm such like a routine, like type A type of person. Yes. Like if I'm ready to go and then something throws me off and we're on her calendar for the next, like,
you'll never be on time for the foreseeable future. I'll warn you of that now.
Yeah. I remember a buddy of mine and his kids are older, like 12 and 14 now, but he was always late. And my other friend was like, we're very much the same. And then my buddy, he's got like a 3 and a 6 year old now. And like when his first daughter was born, he looked at me, he's like, I get it. He's like, you have no control over it whatsoever.
You always think, you know, when someone else is, you know, I could do that. And then the baby comes along and it's game over.
Yeah. Like I get like 27 text messages from like the last like 2 days that I just haven't responded to. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about all those. Like I just like, but yeah, anyways, back to Miss Marvel. But yeah, so that's really, so it's when bulk, as far as like bulk goes, like how much are you making at any given moment, you know, to stock up? Like, and how much do you go through, you know, what does that look like?
So efficiency has definitely been something that I've been continuing to try and improve on as the months have gone on. Finally kind of nailed it down to weekends are for cooking and weekdays are for packaging. I usually have a good idea. People, thank God, are mostly pretty proactive with their ordering when they know when they need something or, you know, when they're placing their orders. So very, very rarely do I get someone, and we usually can accommodate, but someone who's like, you know, can I have an order for tomorrow? So I usually am doing all my cooking over the weekend, and then boxing, the day before each order, is due. So I probably at this for the holidays, I'm probably going through about, 25 pound box of, melting wafers per flavor, probably every 2 weeks.
Per flavor.
So we're going through about 50 pounds every 2 weeks.
Holy shit. That's crazy. Yeah. That's wild. What is,
and for
what is,
weddings, it's about the same, but in the summer, normally it's not as much.
Yeah. I imagine the next 4 months or so is going to be like bread and butter between, you know, from Halloween that we just had to Valentine's Day is pretty much going to be your bread and butter, I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
What's a typical lead time if somebody is going to reach out to you and place an order? Is there a website? Do they hit you up on Instagram? Like, how do they place their orders?
Most of my business is done through Instagram or email for anyone that's a reoccurring client. I post my monthly menu on Instagram every month. It's right at the top of the page. You can see what each month pricing offers and flavors are. So ordering goes right through there. And for lead time, I can usually accommodate pretty much any order, except if it's, you know, like a party platter size, you know, something for, I've had a lot of inquiries for baby showers and we offer chocolate bars for, you know, company outings or any other sort of event, something like that would need pretty, you know, a good 2-3 week lead time at least. Okay. But a standard box, we have, you know, a sampler box for $50. That's all of our flavors with your choice of, you know, cookies or other sweets that I have. And that's something that I can do in a day.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. And you're doing, I mean, we're in your kitchen right now. Like, are you doing everything at home?
Not everything. I have, fortunate enough to have an uncle who is in the baking world as well. So I do a lot in his kitchen, and try to get everything done, you know, in an actual commercial kitchen and then do the packaging, you know, as time permits.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned, the restoration, Miss Marble, you're married and you have a 3-year-old.
Did I mention I run a charity too? Because I do.
No, you did not. What's the name of the charity?
I also run a charity called The Helping Heart. We raise money for families who have children in the cardiac unit at Boston Children's Hospital.
Oh, no.
My 3-year-old was actually born with a heart defect called transposition of the great arteries. And she had a open heart surgery when she was 2 days old. And it was an incredibly humbling experience, to say the least. Yeah. And we met so many families from around the world who just moved from their location so their child could get care at Boston Children's. We don't realize how fortunate we are to have that hospital in our backyard.
Yeah.
So we just met a lot of families who were financially drained by having to stop working or travel to the hospital every day so their child could get care. So all the funds we raise, we partner directly with Boston Children's. And all the money we raise goes directly to the Extraordinary Needs Program, which goes into the hands of the family. So they basically apply for a grant for whatever money they need to support them. We donate directly to that. So we just had our third annual golf tournament, and over three years, donated $125,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I like to stay busy.
Yeah. I mean, that's something to be proud of. Good for you. That's amazing. You. That's really cool. Next year, where do you host the golf tournament?
Fall River Country Club.
Give me a shout. I will be there.
Great. My husband's a member there. We have it on a Friday thing. That's the perk of him being a member there. We get a Friday tea time.
Yeah.
The weather was beautiful. We had it the 22nd of October. It was 60 degrees and sunny. And Friday, like, people come to party. So, you know, the week's over, they come to have fun. And we try to make it fun. We have a live band. We're definitely trying to take your money, but we try and make it fun too.
Well, we do a real nice dinner.
Yeah. Real nice dinner, band, drinks. It's a good time.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the point of, like, you know, a charity event, right? People know, but they're there for the entertainment. They're there to help and then for the entertainment, right? Like, the October 21st, I was part of another charity. I was a sponsor for Healthy Waltham. So the day before out in Waltham. And same thing, like, everything was there. You know, they're trying to get as much money as they can, but there was just an amazing event. The weather. Yes. the weather that Thursday, Friday was, you could not have asked for better weather at the end of October.
Couldn't ask for better. And there was a sharp decline after that. So I'm so glad it was the 22nd.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. That's really cool. Thank you. Yeah, definitely let me know next year. I'd love to be a part of it for sure.
Absolutely.
If you're looking for sponsors, happy to sponsor it too. On top of all that, like how do you...
That's it. There's nothing else after that.
All right. How do you manage your calendar? I mean, I feel like you got like never ending demands. Like how do you go about that? It seems like you don't sleep.
I've always been a very high D personality. Yeah. I'm just very results driven. And I just, when I get an idea, I can't rest until it's happened. And I actually, like I mentioned with COVID, with my daughter having a heart condition, I really, at that time, we still didn't know much and I wasn't comfortable just going about my normal life at that time. Yeah. And I needed something to continue to drive me. So when she would go to bed, I'd pour a glass of wine and start coming up with recipes and start making. So I almost, when she goes to bed and I start working on orders or, you know, it's almost like a calming, it's an enjoyable thing to do. So I have it, everything on clockwork. It's all fine.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good for you. That's really cool.
Thank you.
That's really cool. So with that being said, do you ever picture yourself, I think I know the answer to this. Do you ever picture yourself like 100% completely retiring or do you think you'll always have your hand?
I'll always have my hand in something.
Yeah, you got your hand in 17 things already. So
three. I won't. I'll always have my hand in something. Who knows what it is, but you know, I'd love to eventually. I don't know. But
no, you're young, so it's something. Not like, yeah, yeah. That I figured I knew the answer to that question, but
it's how I'm programmed.
Yeah. And I think most entrepreneurs and business owners are programmed differently. So that's why I like to ask that question because I don't think one person, I think your episode 72 now, not one person has said that they pictured themselves just like, oh yeah, like I just sell my business and retire. Like just, it sounds fun for like a week or two. And then you just like, right. You're just going to get bored.
I know people, you know, that have sold their businesses or retired. And even if it's consulting, if it's helping other people, you know, elevate themselves to their best potential and to help grow their business or their ideas or what they're even just their job, it'll always be something if you're programmed to continuing to be 100%. Results oriented and driven.
Yeah, 100%. It keeps your brain stimulated too. Right. Yep. So, and that's what you need whenever that day comes, when you stop working full time, you need to get your brain stimulated or it's not fun. So what do you see for the future of Miss Marble? We're coming up on a year from now, a year in the business. What do you see for the future of it?
I think that I'd love to see continuous growth in our event side of things, targeting brides and baby showers and events like that was in its infancy this year. Yep. So I really see growth in that, you know, getting some more part-time employees to help with the packaging and help with, you know, the additional supply. Cause eventually it will peak to the point where it won't just be me. And of course I won't be able to be okay with that. So initially in the beginning I was like, yeah, I'm fine. You know, it's just a hobby, you know, it's just a hobby. We're just going to do it a little bit. And of course that was not in the cards for me. So I think focusing on a niche, you know, of the more events side is something that I'd really like to see continue to grow.
So outside of this though, what are some of the hobbies that you enjoy doing? What do you, your daughter, your husband, like what do you guys do?
So, well, my husband's an avid golfer. So he spends a lot of time golfing. Nice. Grace and I, my three-year-old, we like to just go on adventures, especially now that the world is somewhat back to normal. Yeah. You know, we'll wake up on a Saturday morning and she and I will go get breakfast and just see where the day takes us, whether it be to a park we haven't been to before, or, you know, when you have a three-year-old, obviously it's not the get up and go anywhere that, you know, that you're used to. Well, we now know that 2 weeks in, but really just, you know, we like to do that. We like to stay home and watch movies. We like to go out to eat. We're going to Disney World on Saturday. We're really excited about that. Yeah. It's just not, cool. You know, it's a whole nother world with a three-year-old. It's just, where's today going to take us?
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool. All right, Corey. So last few questions that I've asked every guest on Boston's Best, I'd love to know your thoughts. The first one being, what advice would you give someone who's looking to start their own business? Doesn't have to be in the bark business or the chocolate business, but just any business in general. What would have been helpful for you going in?
I think that I would tell anyone is try to know everybody. every person you meet, find out what they do, get their card, follow them on social media. Your network and who you know is going to be the foundation of your growth. There's always people like helping people that they like and that they know. You know, it doesn't matter how much experience, I mean, relatively speaking, it doesn't matter how much experience you have, how much, you know, what your degree is. Of course, those things are important, but knowing the right people and building a network of people that, you know, can help you or you can help them is the key, I think, to any success and growth in any business for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because people ultimately are going to do business with people they like, right? They know, like, and trust, whether it's in the chocolate business, whether it's in the finance business, whether it's an electrician or a plumber, you know, yes, you have to have some experience in this relative. But if people know you and like you and trust you and you're not
and trust you.
And trust you is a big part. And that's what people get trust when they know you and you network with them and you're just genuinely a good person. That's what ultimately is going to end up growing your business. So I think you, like, I heard a good phrase, your network is your net worth.
Yes, right? Correct.
You know,
100%.
So I couldn't agree more. So if you could tell your 18-year-old self one thing, what would you tell her?
Those astronomy and algebra classes in college were pointless. Yeah. You know, I would have told her just explore and try so many new things until you develop a passion for something. Don't ever settle. If you're not happy doing something, immediately leave it and find something that you're happy doing. Just don't settle. Always look for new opportunities. There's just so many incredible avenues and opportunities that you may not even know existed. Yep. And I feel like when you get out of high school, it's okay, go to college. And you know, you can be a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, can go into finance, you can play professional sports. Like, there's so many things out there that you don't even know about.
Oh, just
totally. Meet people and find something that you love.
Yeah, no, 100%. I couldn't agree more. But high school, I learned the Pythagorean theorem. You know, I learned that. That's come in handy in my last 20 years. So,
right? Yeah,
I agree. All right, Corey, last question. I've asked everyone on Boston's Best this question. So I'd love to hear how you define success. You know, everyone has a varying depiction of what success is to them. So how would you define it?
I think success is exceeding your own expectations. I think success is whatever you thought your goal was, you just completely surpassed that.
I love that.
That's success.
No one else said anything like that before. So I like that. We'll end on that note. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you very much
for coming on Boss's Best.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Miss Marble, I love everything you're doing. So I'll be sure to promote the hell out of this when the episode comes out.
Thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Hey everyone, I just wanted to say thank you for checking out my podcast. I really do appreciate the love I've received for this show. I believe now more than ever, any exposure to local businesses is great for them to receive, and I'm trying to do my part. If you are a local business owner or someone you know in the Boston area that would like to be featured on the podcast, please email me at bostonsbestpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please follow this podcast. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Instagram with the handle @Boston's Best_podcast, as well as Facebook at facebook.com/Boston's Best podcast. Again, I truly appreciate the great feedback for this show, and stay tuned for each new episode every Friday at 8 a.m. Take care.